Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast, your audio source for all things Michigan football, basketball, and recruiting. I'm your host, Zach Shaw. Steve Lorenz here with me. We are previewing Michigan's Big Ten opener against Rutgers. It'll take place in Ann Arbor. And Steve, this will be a common theme throughout this episode, but Rutgers, you know, record aside, they have played Michigan better than, I guess, their record or their overall season would suggest each of the past two seasons. In 2021, it was a one-possession game in Ann Arbor, and then last fall, Michigan ended up pulling away in the second half, but Rutgers did have a halftime lead. So this is an interesting first test. I'm a big believer that first time you play another team that you're not supposed to demolish, you know, that's where you start to find out, okay, you know, what position groups actually have some weaknesses that didn't show up against a group of five team. And also, you do find out what position groups, you know, have really good strengths. You know, I think a lot of people are looking at the run game on that front. You know, is this run game, now that it's facing a more substantial opponent, you know, is this one of those games where the run game takes off just because that intensity is there, that motivation and hunger is there with a Big Ten team on the other side of the field. But Steve, this episode, like our others, we'll look at the keys for the offense, see if they can crack this Rutgers defense, and then we'll look at keys for the defense in the second half of the episode and make our final predictions for the game. So Steve, there's a lot of things Michigan could do well offensively. I think the one thing, the biggest key for me for the Wolverines is, I think it sounds really dumb because it's arguably a key for every game, but I think scoring when you have the opportunity to score is a very big key in this game. And we'll talk about Rutgers improved, in my mind, improved offense in the second half of this episode. But, you know, one thing that they're doing better this year is they're controlling the clock. They are doing well in time of possession. And part of that is because their defense can force some turnovers. They have, you know, cornerbacks and safeties and even linebackers who can, you know, get their hand on a ball. They can force turnovers. They can stop you in the red zone. And they haven't faced a team like Michigan, obviously, but I'm envisioning a scenario where Michigan might not get 15 possessions in this game or even 12 possessions in this game. And it might need to capitalize when it has the chance, because we also, going back to Michigan's win over Bowling Green, you know, a lot of people were talking about the 14-6 halftime score. Well, one interception was thrown in the end zone. The other one was thrown at the 5-yard line. If Michigan scores even 3 points on those possessions, doesn't give Rutgers a little bit of that momentum, I mean, you're still talking, it might have been 20-3 or 20-0 at halftime, and nobody's even remotely concerned about the game, let alone if they had scored touchdowns on those drives. So to me, that's a big key. You know, this is Rutgers defense. They don't miss a lot of tackles. You know, they know how to force turnovers, especially in the pass game. And we've seen the past couple years, I know they haven't faced a Michigan caliber rushing attack this season, but they really know how to use the twists and the stunts and some of the activity on the interior just to make it hard for Michigan to pave what I would say its typical paths in the run game. You know, I think this is a Rutgers defense that probably doesn't stop Michigan on the ground all 60 minutes, but can definitely put Michigan on its heels for some of those third and longs and stymie an otherwise successful Michigan drive. So to me, to sum up, I think the biggest key for the offense is just capitalizing when you have the opportunity. Sometimes the other opponent just has the right defensive calls and it's a three and out and you punt, whatever. Or sometimes you're pinned inside your own 10 and you're just nothing's really working for you in that particular time of the game. That's fine. But I'm envisioning a scenario where if I'm thinking, how can Rutgers pull off the upset? It's probably a scenario where Michigan drives inside Rutgers 40 and either turns the ball over or misses a field goal or gives up two tackles for loss and has to punt. Like, to me, that's the silent killer that Rutgers is hoping for heading into this game. So yeah, capitalizing on the scorable drives or the scoring opportunities. Steve, what's your biggest key for Michigan's offense in this matchup?
I kind of sense, just based on the way Rutgers has played defense so far, I think they're going to employ a similar sort of strategy to what Michigan's first few opponents have, and just focus on going, despite, you know, and I know McCarthy had a uncharacteristic game against Bowling Green, but despite how well he had played in the first two games, teams were still sort of stacking, sort of making Michigan throw the ball to beat them. I mean, Rutgers has one of the better rushing defenses so far in the country this season. I kind of feel like they're going to go into it with a, let's stop the run and let's try to force JJ McCarthy into making a mistake or two. I think Michigan's shown enough to where you do almost have to pick your poison to an extent. I think the other thing for them offensively is sort of along the lines of what you said, but maybe a little bit more specific. I think Michigan's best chance to make this let's say, I don't want to necessarily say blowout, but to make this a easier game is to score early and get ahead and make Rutgers have to throw the football. So, you know, I think capitalizing on some early chances, I think maybe taking a couple early shots down the field to try to soften up that run defense might be in Michigan's best interest as well. So those are my sort of big picture thoughts on what I think Michigan should do offensively. You know, we know they're going to try to run the football. We know they're likely to have some success doing it, with the potential that if things are starting to gel, that they could have even more success. But this still kind of feels like a game where Michigan might be better off opening it up a little bit, taking a couple deep shots, loosen up the linebackers a little bit, and then kind of give themselves that ability to push and pull.
I definitely agree. I have to think Rutgers is going to dare JJ McCarthy to beat them, because one thing to also keep in mind is Rutgers is very confident in its secondary, and rightfully so. Through three games, they actually lead the country by a pretty significant margin in passes defended per game. So that's combined interceptions and pass breakups. So I'm sure they're more nuanced than this, but I wonder if they're looking at JJ McCarthy's interceptions last week and saying, hey, we can recreate that. You know, get a couple of those edge rushers, get McCarthy kind of throwing on the run a little bit, see if he can telegraph a pass here and there if we rush him, and then we can just jump in there and get a pick or get our hand on the ball. So I think that, you know, a second key, and it's an obvious one, but JJ McCarthy bouncing back and staying steady. I mean, I don't think there's anyone who doubts that he can do that inside Michigan's locker room. And you know, JJ McCarthy, I thought he was pretty honest and forthcoming on Saturday when he talked about his interceptions, and you know, you could tell there was a lot of determination and a lot of understanding of what went wrong even before he had looked at the film. So I think this is, I mean, we make it sound like he lost the game on Saturday, but you know, you throw three interceptions, there is some element of just making sure that you're still just as confident, right? Jim Harbaugh talked about that in press conferences this week. He doesn't want to overcoach JJ. He doesn't want to take away the confidence that made JJ McCarthy the quarterback that he was the first 2 weeks. So it's a tricky balance. I don't think it's undoable, but I'm kind of with you. I think spreading the field out a little bit. You know, this is a very good opportunity to see what Roman Wilson, who has been exceptionally open almost all year, you know, see what he looks like against a top flight cornerback, and see what Cornelius Johnson looks like against a cornerback who, you know, could be getting honorable mention or third team all Big Ten discussion. So yeah, seeing how those two look, and then is this a game? I kind of think it could be where you get the running backs involved in the receiving game. It didn't happen last week, but you did see it happen against UNLV. So they definitely have it in their playbook, and it's toward the beginning of the playbook. It's just a matter of, is this the matchup where you can, that is that one way you can kind of loosen the box a little bit, because Rutgers can stack the box, but if they don't have the personnel to defend Donovan Edwards on a on an out route or whatever, like, then Michigan can, yeah, then Michigan can just call that play, move the chains that way. I think one thing I noticed, I did a story, three things we learned about Michigan in non-conference play, as well as three things we still want to know. But one of the things I learned is JJ McCarthy's gotten a lot better at third downs and red zone passing. I think there's a lot more confidence in more obvious passing situations, as well as situations where he needs to throw into tighter windows. It's not just about finding someone wide open who's just galloping down the field. It's, you know, I think where he's elevated his game is he's got a very good sense, especially with those senior receivers, about how you can find, get the ball in their hands, even when there is a defender nearby. So that's, this will be a test for him. It's not a test I'm particularly concerned about from Michigan, but yeah, this will be a test of his ability to bounce back and maintain confidence, even if against Bowling Green, there were some throws that he would like to have back. Cause one thing I will say upon rewatch, I don't know about you, Steve. I mean, it was more than just the three interceptions. I mean, there were a couple passes that were tipped and almost picked off, or you know, it was kind of the first time he'd been off on a few plays all season. Still had some big plays, but you know, even the flea flicker to Cornelius Johnson was a fortuitous catch, you know, one that isn't necessarily going to happen every time. So yeah, I think with how much Rutgers can get their hands on passes, I think this is a big opportunity for the bounce back game. Cause I will say, Steve, and one of our over unders is, does JJ McCarthy get 1.5 more touchdowns than interceptions in this game? I feel like if that over hits, Michigan's going to win this game, just because I think as long as he can avoid the turnovers, and if he's throwing consistently throughout the game, as you kind of pointed out, I mean, that's just, Rutgers is going to have to eventually decide, okay, which, are we selling out to stop the run? Or are we selling out to hang back in coverage? If the pass game is there, I really do like Michigan's chances of winning.
Did you take the over?
I think I'm going to. I think he has two more touchdowns than interceptions.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm with you on it. That's what I wanted to say. I think I'll go with the over as well. The red zone stuff, as you mentioned, yes, noticeable. I think it's a learning experience for young quarterbacks, especially for someone like him who has the ability to get out of the pocket and make plays. I feel like that's where guys like, that's where they eventually become the most dangerous in the red zone. And I think those are the types of quarterbacks that are hardest to defend in the red zone, right? I mean, you're talking about three or four different outcomes on any given play when the quarterback sort of breaks the mold, gets outside the pocket and starts to, you know, kind of maneuver and improvise. And I think he's really shown some major strides in that area already this season. So yeah, that's one area where, yeah, they get down there. Plus between Loveland, I mean, granted, I think Wilson's been the beneficiary of most of the red zone success catching the football, but you also have a couple bigger bodies too, if necessary, with Loveland and Johnson. So, but yeah, I'll go with the over. I think, I guess it's a weird way to put it. I have faith. It sounds very homerish. I don't really mean it that way, but I have belief and faith that McCarthy bounces back from probably the most uncharacteristic game we've seen him play. Even against TCU, I think there was talk about a couple of the plays were play calls that TCU sort of bid on. These were just kind of a couple head scratching decisions. Even the touchdown to Cornelius Johnson was kind of an odd decision on the surface. So, but I'll take the over.
As far as the run game goes, as you mentioned a moment ago, Rutgers extremely good at stopping the run right now. Yeah, they've got 36 run stops already. I'll pull up Michigan's number in a moment, but you know, especially at linebacker, Tyreen Powell, Muhammad Tour. I mean, those are two guys who really can fill in, right? They're just really good at being there, similar to Michigan's linebackers in terms of getting downhill and also not missing tackles. Rutgers, very good tackling team. Right now, statistically better than Michigan at tackling. And that, some of that is Michigan has had rotating or players rotating in during a lighter non-conference play, whereas Rutgers has been facing, I mean, they've been doing well, but they've been facing Northwestern, facing Virginia Tech. But yeah, I think this has got to be a game where, you know, one other storyline, I guess, to watch is what happens with this offensive line. You know, is it going to be Ladarius Henderson? Is it going to be Miles Hinton? It feels like that's maybe the only starting lineup configuration, but, you know, is this a game where Zach Zinter can elevate himself and really, really start dropping the hammer even more? Where Trevor Keegan, I mean, these are two guys who have played in some of the most intense atmospheres in college football. I'm not speaking for them, but I hypothesize, you know, I feel like if I were in their shoes, I would have a hard time bringing that same intensity and physicality to like a noon non-conference game against an acronym school, right? I think this is an opportunity for them maybe to really, really start to gel. The offensive line, even if there's been a couple changes or tweaks here and there, they've had a couple weeks to gel. They got to be in great communication with Drake Nugent at this point, especially on the inside. So yeah, I think taking care of that defensive front, including those linebackers, you know, making sure that your blockers are getting to the second level, making sure that your play calls are, you know, setting the running backs up for success, that'll be something to watch. And on that note, one of the over-unders that we have, 27.5 touches for Corum and Edwards. That's it seems high based on what has been happening. I think I'm going to take the over because I would expect Corum to get somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 to 25, and I'd be stunned if Edwards didn't get at least 10. You know, because then you would start wondering, okay, is he hurt? Is he playing through something? So I'm going to take the over on 27.5 touches. But Steve, in addition to that, you know, thinking about Donovan Edwards and Blake Corum, it feels like he's right where he wants to be statistically in terms of usage and production. But Donovan, I mean, it was, I think even after week one, he was talking about, he's checking the box score at halftime and disappointed what he saw. And then week two, he was even quieter. Week three, he got up to 50 yards, but still, this is a guy that some people were thinking could be an All-American, could be a Heisman contender. The mental, talk about the mental challenge of making sure. I mean, I don't know if he would call it a slump. I don't know where he's at with that stuff, but you do wonder, you know, is this a game where Michigan almost tries to dial Donovan up just to get him, as we talked about the other day, into that rhythm, into that comfort? He is not someone that's ever lacked confidence, but kind of get that momentum, that internal confidence back after three fairly quiet games.
Yeah, it was your last point. And again, sometimes things can get a little repetitive, the talking points, but with Edwards, I think that is kind of the, you know, what will get him going is that I think getting him involved a little bit more early on, whether it be in the passing game or running the football. So I'm with you on this one as well. I think we're both have a similar view of this game. I'm guessing at this point, I'll take the over. I think Michigan, there's always an aspect of every Jim Harbaugh coach team that wants to sort of instill their will and really run the football. Again, I think a lot of it, of course, every time you hand the ball off, you want your back to take it all the way. But there's really a lot of it is about forcing defenses to respect your ability to run the football. And we know that Michigan has, again, I still think Edwards is one of the best backs in the country for sure. It's not as if he's lost it necessarily or anything like that along those lines at all. Corum has pretty much identical stats to last year at this time. You know, teams know that Michigan is more than capable of running the football and controlling the football for four quarters. So, you know, I think, yeah, you're going to, especially when you have two guys that you feel like you can trust. I think that actually, it makes it a lot easier to continue to feed both of them the ball to force Rutgers, again, to at least respect, particularly in the first half, first three quarters of the game, depending on how it plays out, you know, or you just run their defensive front down over the course of four quarters. You know, we've seen Michigan do that in the past under Jim Harbaugh. I keep thinking of, let's say, Washington a couple of years ago, right? You know, so yeah, I almost in any scenario like this, unless the over-under was like really high, I'm almost going to always take the over when it comes to a Harbaugh-led team, particularly when you could argue Corum and Edwards are two of their five best players.
All right, one more over-under on the offensive side. 99.5 yards for Michigan's leading receiver or rusher. So I assume that's total yards for whoever leads the team in yards from scrimmage. I feel like the only player I'm really penciling in to get this would be Blake Corum. I think I'm going to take the under. I feel like there's a very real scenario where Corum gets 100 yards, but we just talked about Donovan Edwards. I feel like Michigan could view it as important to get him more touches in this game since he hasn't gotten a ton so far this season. You know, Roman Wilson, Cornelius Johnson, they've had very good games. They've been really consistent, reliable receivers. I don't think either of them have gotten to the century mark yet. So even with more of a focus on those two, I don't think they've had a 100-yard game this season. So I'm going to take the under on this. I think it's a balanced offensive effort, but I also think Rutgers, I mean, they're not going to roll over, right? They're top 15 in pretty much every statistical defensive category I can find. And they don't give up big plays. They've only given up one play of 30 yards or more, and they're fifth nationally with just five plays of 20 yards or more surrendered. So they are not so far they're not. I mean, I understand Northwestern and Virginia Tech, not your typical Power Five matchups, but so far they haven't really broken down that much. So I'm going to take the under on this one. How about you?
Same. To be fair, you've gotten to go first on all three, so I don't want it to seem like I'm coattailing you, but you're also whooping me so far in the head-to-head. So
I was going to say, yeah, I didn't talk about the score.
Try to, I don't. You can say it, dude. It doesn't. It's fine with me.
I'm 9-2, and you are 3-8 so far.
It's gonna have to have an epic comeback here to even compete. But no, I'll take the under as
so,
well.
To be fair, I didn't. I never went and checked the East Carolina scores because we did 10 for those. So that would.
Well, how about based on how those turn out, we'll just either count them or not count them. If you get my hint.
Fair.
Okay.
Yeah.
But either way. I'm taking the under as well. I think seeing Michigan only complete passes to three receivers last Saturday is such an anomaly, right?
Not a typical Harbaugh.
No.
Game.
So we've, you know, McCarthy has shown, you know, it's not a situation where he's a first read or second read guy. I mean, they've been spreading the ball out pretty consistently, you know, first two games and even going into last year. So, you know, yeah, I think you'll see more like Tyler Morris, maybe even get like a Max Bredesen, those types of guys involved, AJ Barner. Like, I think you'll see more guys involved, you know, and again, with Rutgers having a pretty solid pass defense, you know, I think we'll see probably a lower chance of either of those two getting 100. Thing is, though, with Wilson in particular, that it, you know, it's one of those stats where you're one big play away from possibly smashing that number. And like I said, I mentioned earlier, I wouldn't mind seeing Michigan maybe take a deep shot early. So maybe more conceivable that it happens than in some scenarios, but no, I'm going to go with the under as well.
By the way, linebackers for Rutgers, it looks like they have given up 19, the starting trio of linebackers have given up 19 completions on 27 attempts. So if you're thinking about the tight ends, and the safeties have struggled a little bit too, starting safeties have. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity for guys in the slot, tight ends, maybe even running backs to get some of those pass plays. All right, we're going to hit a quick break on the other side. We'll flip over to the defensive side. Michigan's defense has looked as good as it can possibly look the past couple weeks. What do they need to do to make sure that they leave Michigan Stadium on Saturday 4-0? We'll talk about that in just a moment. You're listening to the Wolverine 24/7 podcast.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Got your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So, Steve, Rutgers defense has been good for a while. I mean, really, since Greg Schiano took over, I feel like they've consistently fielded quality defenses. I think the big difference, at least so far, it is early in the season, but I think the big difference for Rutgers this year is they're running the ball pretty well. I mean, they're running the ball. They're doing well in terms of time of possession, top 20 in time of possession. They ran for 256 yards on more than 6 yards per carry against Virginia Tech. And even if it's not the Virginia Tech that we kind of grew up seeing, it's still a Virginia Tech team that's got a lot of defensive minds that knew Rutgers was going to run the ball and just simply couldn't stop it. So I think the big thing, and you've already mentioned it, it's not exactly a novel concept, but yeah, stopping the run really would give Michigan probably a huge upper hand in this matchup, just because I don't think Rutgers is quite a team that's going to beat another Big Ten team with its pass game. I think if they can, we'll see it. But I think this is a team that's not loving where they're at in terms of the pass game, but is really liking how it's moving the ball on the ground this year, which makes a big difference, by the way. I mean, that is how you can kill clock. You can control field position. You can control the game a little bit more. So I expect Rutgers to try to do that, try to slow or try to limit Michigan's drives by running the clock. I mean, it kind of worked when Bowling Green did it too. Didn't Michigan's offense only run like 14 plays in the first half? And the turnovers didn't help, but like Bowling Green did its job in terms of running the clock. So I feel like the big thing is just stopping the runs, especially on kind of obvious rundowns, and see if you can force Rutgers to pass.
I think, winning first down, I think is again, that's we're at John Madden analysis, you know, win first and second
down. The team
down.
That's going to score more points
right,
tonight.
Right.
Got to like their chance of winning.
Winning, but again, against a team that has run the ball successfully and who, I mean, at least in my opinion, at least so far this season, the quarterback is more of a threat on his legs than he is in the air. It's pivotal that Michigan stays out of second and short and third and short, you know, part of me feels like that, yes, Rutgers has been successful running the football. They've played a better schedule than Michigan has too so far, to be totally blunt, right? I mean, I know Virginia Tech and Northwestern are not necessarily your typical Virginia Tech or Northwestern, but they're still, you know, Power Five programs, whatever. But I still think Michigan's defense just feels geared to really potentially stop what Rutgers is trying to do, you know? And so kind of feeds into it. Like it all kind of ties in for me is like, I do feel like this is a game where if Rutgers comes out and tries to run the football right away, I think they're going to have a hard time. And I think Michigan, if they can capitalize offensively and get on the board early, I actually think this game could get out of hand. That's my opinion. Just because again, Rutgers has not really shown the ability to throw the football. And I almost think they're going to have their best passing game of the season to come into Ann Arbor and win, right? I mean, we're talking about Michigan's interior defensive front. I mean, two of the best run stoppers in the country. Chris Jenkins might be the best run stopper in the country. Jalen Harrell, elite run stopper on the app. I mean, there's just so many different guys and stuff that seem to excel against the run that, you know, maybe Rutgers throws the ball a few more times on first and second down. I don't know. But to me, it really, this game defensively for Michigan, it'll really make a huge, huge difference if they're forcing Rutgers to throw the football. Cause I think that's where mistakes are not a guarantee, but I think Michigan can really throw a lot of crap at Wimsatt on second and third and long and possibly force some mistakes.
Yeah. And I think in terms of some of it is just playing the way Michigan has played, not just all this season, but all last season too. I mean, this is a defense that's really stout at the middle, really good at identifying run versus pass and where the ball might be going, and then doesn't miss a lot of tackles. And the missed tackles have been a little bit worse so far this non-conference play than they were at any point last year. And that to me is the key. It's gotta make those tackles. Kyle Monongai, 5'9", 210, but he already has 22 forced missed tackles this season. which is, I believe, fourth in the country. And that's 22 on 58 attempts. So, I mean, this is a guy who's he's averaging more than 4 yards per carry after contact. So this is definitely a player, and Gavin Wims at the quarterback as well. You know, two guys that could be slippery, could be difficult to bring down on first try if Michigan's not tackling with intent, tackling with purpose. So, yeah, that's got to be a point of emphasis too, in addition to schematically being there for the run, just making sure you're not giving Rutgers bonus yards on broken tackles or missed tackles. I think that's another key. On that note, our first defensive over-under, 69.5 rushing yards for Monongai. He had 49 against Northwestern on just 14 carries. He had 165 against Temple. And then he had 143 on 16 carries. So that's 8.9 yards per carry with 3 touchdowns against Virginia Tech. Those last two games make me feel like this has got to be an over, even if Michigan does its job. But I feel like, as a general rule, I almost always take the under on the run defense stuff. I mean, Michigan, I've said before, I think they're the best run defense in the country. So it would be hypocritical for me not to stick to that. I am going to take the under on 69.5 rushing yards for Monongai. Steve, how about you?
I'm taking the under only because, I mean, this number may be dictated by how well or how close the game stays for the first couple quarters, right? It's hard to imagine, even with Rutgers being a primary run offense, it's hard for me to imagine that if Michigan can get ahead early, that they're going to be able to keep trying to, you know, pound the rock in between the tackles. If Michigan's, you know, it's hard to play catch up with an offense like that. And if they're not finding early success and Michigan gets up by a couple scores, it just makes it a lot harder to kind of operate that way. So I'm going to take the under, but yeah, maybe with like an asterisk that it's game scenario dependent. I think if this game does stay relatively close, Monongai, yeah, excellent stats. I mean, and again, it's kind of weird to talk about Rutgers running the ball all over Virginia Tech. I mean, it's kind of not something you really, if you've watched college football for 20 years, not something you would necessarily chalk up as a thing, but, you know, definitely a talented player. And with Wimsatt being able to use his legs effectively, you know, it does give them a variety of ways to attack Michigan defensively. So, but either way, yeah, I'm kind of with you. Until I see it, you know, I'm going to go with the under.
So in terms of other keys, I do feel like that would probably, in terms of like what would slow Rutgers down the most, I feel like that would be the big one. I think another key, or maybe not a key to victory, but a storyline to watch for Michigan is what does this secondary look like, assuming that they are, I mean, it does seem like they're strongly hinting that these were precautionary injuries. It sounds like at least Will Johnson has been practicing for more than a week. Rod Moore, I don't know if he was practicing the whole time, but it just, you know, I think Jesse Minter said it in the press conference today, said, quote, "We're really, really close to being at full tilt. So I'm just going to leave it at that. It seems to be in line with what Jim Harbaugh said, seems to be in line with what the players said. So I think that's another key. Again, we're not particularly amazed by Rutgers' passing offense, but it does, I assume, if they have, whether it's starters who are playing some of their first meaningful snaps of the season, or reserves who have shown opportunities to attack against here and there, right? Some big plays have been let up in that secondary, not consistently, but the opportunity has been there. So yeah, I think that secondary, like seeing the secondary round into form, or seeing the secondary either get to full health or show progress with the players who aren't full health, I mean, that's got to be a storyline to watch. I know we'll be watching it from the press box before the game. You know, who's out there warming up? Are they warming up with the ones? Do they look healthy? Do they have any knee braces on or anything like that? So that will be something I know I'll be watching closely is what does the secondary look like on Saturday? And then what do they play like regardless of what they look like? Steve, any thoughts on the secondary and that angle of Michigan's defense?
Yeah, I mean, tough to know how much we'll actually learn, like, because Rutgers has not really shown the ability to throw the football super successfully. Granted, I mean, to their credit, I guess they really haven't had to that badly, but could be a situation where one thing maybe you're looking for from the secondary is to get your hands on some footballs, maybe make a couple, get a couple interceptions, right? I mean, again, my feeling about this game is that if Michigan can slow down the run early in the early downs, you can force some mistakes. And then at that point, it's on your defensive backs to make some plays. And so I think, yeah, maybe we'll see, you know, maybe learn a little bit more about some playmaking ability in the defensive backfield on Saturday. I mean, again, it's hard to really know what other types of expectations it get, because they're only throwing the ball. They're running the ball twice as much as they've been throwing the football, and they haven't, like, again, particularly thrown the football that well. So it's hard to this. And that's one area where this game might be kind of different from their first three, is like where their first three opponents really seem to, you know, 1-2 pass, 1-2 pass. I don't know if Rutgers really has that in them to keep, at least to consistently move the sticks that way. Right. So, you know, could, if they do try, could be another situation where, you know, they're just not refined enough in the passing game to keep doing it. So Michigan can force some mistakes in that regard too. So I guess I might maybe see if the Michigan secondary can capitalize on what I anticipate will be some hurried throws or hurried, you know, situations from their receivers, and then maybe they can force a couple turnovers.
Yeah. In terms of one metric that I like to use is, you know, the Pro Football Focus, they do their grades. I know some people have different opinions about the grades, but their overall phase of the game grades, I feel like, are a good opportunity to kind of see beyond, wow, they went off for crazy stats against a team that they were overmatched against, or, oh, wow, you know, that was, you know, it seems like their grades are a little bit more reflective of who you're playing and how you're looking on a snap-to-snap basis. And Rutgers, their passing grade is 93rd nationally. Their receiving grade is 112th nationally. So yeah, I think this, you know, I guess my thought on the secondary is that's more like what will help Michigan in its march toward a national championship, probably returning to health or showing progress in the secondary. Is it something that Michigan might lose the game on? I'm a little less convinced of that necessarily. All right. Our final two over unders for the defense: 199.5 combined yards passing and rushing for Gavin Wimsett. I'm taking the under. I know I just said whatever about the different stats, but they only threw for 46 yards against Virginia Tech. I assume they'll throw more against Michigan because they were leading and winning big against Virginia Tech, but 200 yards combined rushing and passing. I'm assuming sacks count as negatives in that sense. So I'm going to take the under. And then one more, 7.5 tackles for loss for the Michigan defense. Rutgers, I do think their offensive line is better this season, and I would not be surprised if they're trying really hard to avoid the negative plays. So in terms of 7.5 tackles for loss, yeah, Rutgers is 20th in fewest tackles for loss allowed this season, second in fewest sacks allowed per game this season. I'm actually going to take the under. I think Michigan's defense does its job, but I think there's a lot more 2 or 3 yard gains for Rutgers than necessarily sack after sack or negative play or this or that. So I'm going to take the under on 7.5 tackles for loss. Steve, your thoughts on those two over-unders?
Under for Wimsett, and then we'll diverge finally. I'll take the over on the tackles for loss. Again, Neil, always really good at finding like the right number to set it at. I think 7.5 is a great over under there, but I'm going to take the over. I just think Michigan, again, I think a lot of this might come down to the first quarter and a half of the football game. So, you know, I'll take the over. I think Michigan, again, does enough on the interior of the defensive line to slow down that running game and then let the edges and linebackers make some plays as the game goes on.
All right. Now for our final thoughts and predictions. So Steve, I think the big question, you might feel the same way. You know, I can look at the numbers of what Michigan's done, what Rutgers has done, but there is that feeling that I have that at some point Michigan's just going to turn it on, right? I mean, this is a team that is really experienced, deep, talented at pretty much every position, and they've really shown it on defense. But I do think they're, you know, the offense just hasn't quite hit that top gear yet. And some of that's just they're controlling the clock. They're not worried about their rotating guys in the fourth quarter. I'm not in the boat that they've disappointed, but I feel like at some point they are going to just turn it into that next gear. So to me, this score prediction, I have the prediction of what I think logically will happen. But then I don't know about you. I feel like there is that small chance. It's like, oh, maybe they just go off for 50 points. Like at some point you feel like they're going to, just because they do have the offensive skill players that they have and the offensive line that they have. My prediction is that it's not this week, but Steve, your final thoughts and prediction on this?
I say 39-13. I do think Michigan put some points up. Again, I'm interested to see, it'll depend on the injury report, but it feels like Jack Tuttle's going to end up being the backup or the guy at the backup quarterback. We'll see. But I do agree. There's one thing I agree with, like, message board fan on, is that I would agree that the second unit has been relatively disappointing so far. I know it's mop up. It's kind of mop up duty. It's a lot of it. It's for the coaches anyway. I know a lot of it's more about getting guys experience than it is putting meaningless points on the board. But we've seen second and third units for Michigan put meaningless points on the board in the past. We haven't really seen that yet. So, but I think Michigan's first team comes out. I like Rutgers. To the flip side is Rutgers seems to play Michigan really well. They always play hard. You talked about the last 2 years. I mean, think about the year before that was Cade McNamara's coming out party, wasn't it? Or was that 2 years ago?
The last overtime game that was 2020. Yeah.
Right. I mean, so
that's three straight games that have been.
Yeah.
Some variation
one,
of close.
One half. Last so the year five of the end close. Right, yeah. Right. Five of the last six halves between the two teams have been pretty well played on Rutgers' end. Right. So, there is that, but I don't think a team that is built for running the football and has not shown the ability to throw is the type of team that's going to have a ton of success against Michigan. I just don't, not this defense. I just don't see it. So I'm going to go 39-13. I think Michigan wins comfortably. I think they get out to a good lead. They shut the running game down, force a couple mistakes, and then kind of cruise to victory.
Okay, my score prediction is 27-10. So I've got lower scoring. I still feel like I think it's going to be one of those 27-10 games that feels like never in doubt. The classic Harbaugh games that we've talked about in the last couple episodes where, they're controlling the game. The other team might only be down technically 14 at a given time, but they're just so dominated. Like it's 14, but it feels like 30. I think it's going to be 27-10. I think the big difference is I remember back when I used to, back in the day when Rutgers had a different head coach, they were struggling in a lot of different ways. I remember I used to kind of like add 10 to what I thought the offense could score, because I felt like between turnovers, special teams, and some of the short field stuff that Michigan would just get 10-ish extra points beyond what the offense would probably typically get. I think that's gone. I think that's gone now. I mean, we'll see. Right, but I think Rutgers, I feel like, to Greg Schiano's credit, they've cleaned up the turnover, silly plays, the 10-yard sacks or the, kind of the stuff that used to lead to these games being blowouts. And I think that's been happening for a couple years now, but I think this year's team, at least from what I've seen, in addition to better offensive line, better run game, quality defense, I feel like the decision making and the sloppy plays that helped Michigan pull away as much as they did last year, I think those are less frequent now. But we shall see. I've got 27-10. Steve, you've got 39-13. Be sure to check out all of our preview coverage over at the MichiganInsider.com, Michigan247sports.com. I've got the statistical preview. I've got the written down keys. We got stuff from the press conferences this week. And then, of course, we'll have stuff on game day, including the injury reports, more stuff for if you're attending the game or watching the game on how to get the most out of your game day experience. For Steve Lorenz, I'm Zach Shaw. This has been the Wolverine 24/7 podcast. We'll see you after the game.
I told you imaginary friends are real?
This is just so exciting.
This Friday, get ready for the movie event with the greatest cast you've ever imagined.
Showtime.
Ryan Reynolds, John Krasinski, Kaylee Fleming, Fiona Shaw, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Louis Gossett Jr., Matt Damon, Emily Blunt, George Clooney, Maya Rudolph, Bradley Cooper, Sebastian Maniscalco, John Stewart, Sam Rockwell, Awkwafina, Keegan-Michael Key, and Steve Carell.
I need to throw up or I need a snack. It's one of the two.
Gross.
If. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Written and directed by John Krasinski.